Will Allen, founder of the Milwaukee-based Growing Power, was heralded as a guru of urban agriculture, and his reputation grew far beyond Milwaukee. In 2008, the MacArthur Foundation awarded him a $500,000 genius grant for, quote, transforming the cultivation, production, and delivery of healthy food to underserved urban populations through a novel synthesis of low-cost farming technologies.
After nearly a quarter century, the nonprofit shuttered its doors last November, but in the year since, Allen has returned, this time as a for-profit farmer on the same three-acre urban farm on West Silver Spring.
Lake Effect's Susan Bentz visited him inside Will's roadside farms and markets, its greenhouses brimming with herbs and vegetables, including eggplant and okra. Allen shared some thoughts about Growing Power's legacy and his plans for the future.
This is probably the only place you could get some okra in the state of Wisconsin, unless you're growing it in a greenhouse. So.
And what's this beautiful blossom here I see?
That's where the okra, actually comes from, that flower.
Beautiful. Yeah. So what else you got going?
We've got oregano, a lot of herbs, sage, thyme, basil. We've got a lot of sorrel that goes into our salad mix.
You've got a customer base that continues. You're doing a CSA that's going to go year-round?
Yeah, we've always done this market basket since 1995 when I started it. So,
at the point that you decided to go, or were encouraged to go nonprofit, what went into that decision at that time?
Well, I had some friends that, because I was working with kids in the neighborhood here, and you know, this is a neighborhood that's a food desert, and at that time, unemployment was very high. I mean, it's still high in the inner city, regardless of what the national or state numbers say. So I started hiring kids and working with kids, and you know, my friend said, you should turn this into a nonprofit. I didn't know anything about nonprofits, so I said at that time, well, if you guys want to be the board and raise money, you know, because my whole thing is I'm a farmer, I want to do the work, I want to do the training of folks in the community and that sort of thing. So that's how we launched this thing back then.
It's incredible, really, when you think of all of the school groups. In fact, I heard that you had a school group that came through today.
Yes. Yeah, so school groups are calling, companies are calling to come and volunteer and help, and individuals, of course. So, you know, it's not like the 150 employees, because we were a pretty major employer of people in the inner city for a long time. You know, how many companies can you think of that are hiring 150 people and paying them really well? So, but that's always been my goal, is to make sure people had a living wage and so forth. So, and it, you know, as I started to get older and raising money, doing trainings, writing a book, traveling, doing 60 trips a year around the country, around the world, you know, it kind of wears on you, you know, a little bit.
So when you think over that era, what do you look back and say, you know, that was something, or that's one of the things that it was really important, or an experience I thought I'd never have?
Well, I think I never planned this to, you know, have so many people coming here, but we were getting 30,000 people here a year and training people and launching people into businesses was something that was very satisfying. Probably the most satisfying piece was to have these young people in our youth corps going to college, staying with us from 8 years old through high school, and now they're doing well in life. And, you know, so that was probably the most satisfying piece. The innovative pieces that I came up with was just things that, it was like putting a puzzle together. I call it a food system puzzle, where you had to have, you know, you start with the soil. So growing soil was really important. And to be able to grow the food and to be able to teach people how to harvest and how to get that food into the community was really important. Healthy food that was missing in the community. And really inspiring people. I think that's the best thing we kind of do also, is to inspire people to go into this urban agriculture piece that's growing all over the nation now. As a matter of fact, there are social entrepreneurs that will be coming into this town that want to set up businesses to help the community. So, you know, that's something I'm working on now with folks.
So you've described farming as an art form.
Absolutely. Especially if you're doing sustainable agriculture, not using chemicals. It's really an art form that you have to learn how to do. You don't learn how to do it overnight. So it takes a lot of patience. And people aren't necessarily passionate about doing it. They like it. They think they're passionate, but they're really not. You have to have patience to grow your passion. I wish I could grow passion like I grow cucumbers or lettuce or something, but it takes time. And young people that I talk to, they want to get into this, but only maybe 1 out of 100 actually will sustain themselves and stay in it. It's like 5 years and they're out. Because what typically happens is they graduate college and they start a business growing food in the city or outside of the city, and after about 5 years they look around and see their peers making six-figure salaries and they're making 20 grand a year, and they want to start a family or whatever, and they can't do it on that 20,000 a year. So there's a lot of things that they have to deal with to want to stay in this business. It can't be about the dollars. That's a key thing, because everybody's always looking at the dollars, you know. I'm gonna make a lot of money doing.
So I hear water flowing behind you. I see. Do you have fish?
Yes.
You do have fish.
Yes, that's
so the perch are going.
Yeah, the perch are going. I was able to save the perch. I had a partner, and we had a business in Indiana, and those perch were brought up here from Indiana. So those are our brood stock, our breeding fish. So they're like 3.5 years old, and we'll be breeding those fish this spring.
A ribbon running through your story here has been the aquaponics and working so closely with the School of Freshwater Sciences with Fred Binkowski.
Yeah, Fred is a wonderful person, a wonderful friend, and just probably the smartest guy I've ever worked with in terms of his field. He pretty much created a lot of stuff that they're doing around perch and, you know, working with other species as well. So our relationship has been over 10 years now, and we're going to continue to work together and train people. We've trained over 500 people from around the world here and at the university in our aquaponics training. So that's been something that's very valuable for the whole country, because we need to start raising our own fish here in this country and not be so dependent on China. China has a large portion of the production of or the sale of fish around the world. So we need to get back into the business. The only way to do it is to learn how to grow a healthy product, because these fish have no mercury in their, they're healthy fish, so you could eat them every day. Whereas the stuff in our rivers and streams and the oceans, of course, they're polluted and you can't, there are limits on how much you can eat, and there are limits on, because we overfished a lot of places, and we've set up situations like in the Great Lakes where certain species just don't survive anymore because it's a sports fisherman's paradise, these Great Lakes. And that's cool, I mean, you know. But back in the day, you could do sports fishing and you could also
sustain.
Ma and Pa could go out in a boat and catch some healthy fish, but that's no longer the case.
So really, Will, your mission remains the same? You're just back to being profit rather than nonprofit?
Yeah, we started the first 2 years as a for-profit. And
back in the 90s.
Yeah, and really, I've always said this, that nonprofits weren't really meant to do this urban agriculture in terms of sustaining themselves forever, because it's one thing for nonprofits to train people how to grow, especially kids, and that's what we have mostly. But to try to run an organization just on selling the product that they're growing is very difficult, because you need a lot of production. 99% of the food is shipped into this city that we eat. And most people still eat from grocery stores. I mean, let's face the facts. that most people eat from grocery stores still.
You owned this farm long before you sold it to the nonprofit. Is that how it worked? So how important is it to maintain this as a farm?
Oh, this is a historic building built in the late 1920s. It's very important for us to maintain this. This used to be all greenhouses in this area. And this is the last piece of that era. It's a culturally significant place that we have to make sure it stays. It doesn't mean that we can't build other buildings on the site because it's 3 acres. But these six greenhouses, A-frame greenhouses, should stay the same. And that's what my purpose is, to make sure that happens as long as I'm around.
So how are you going to do that?
Well, I think it's up to the community. It's not necessarily up to me, but to make sure we educate the community around why this is so important. Because after I'm gone, somebody's got to do it. But as a for-profit, I think that for-profit businesses are important from the standpoint that anytime you have a for-profit, you have to put some skin in the game. If you put some skin in the game, then you're going to stick around. But if you don't have any skin in the game, you can always walk away. So I think that's the difference between a for-profit and a non-profit piece. You know, and most non-profits have other initiatives they're working on. It could be art, it could be farming. It's just one of maybe 10 things that they're involved in. So I think it's important that this entrepreneurs do this. So I'm working with a lot of young entrepreneurs who are interested in aquaponics. As a matter of fact, one group wants to grow sturgeon here in the city.
Really?
They met with me. I told them, I said, the first thing you got to learn how to do is how to do aquaponics. They want to do it aquaponically on a pretty large scale. They've got their eye on a building to be able to do it. And they would bring the Russian sturgeon in. For caviar, of course, you know. But they first have to learn how to grow a fish. So that's what I'm teaching them, how to grow, about aquaponics, how it works. And
so as you came back in after recuperating, are there things you're not going to do that you did before?
Yeah, I'm not going to scale this up to the point that we're hiring a lot of people, because a farm like this doesn't require as many people as we had as a nonprofit. We were doing, one year we did 70 different projects. I'm not going to do 70 projects, you know. What I'd like to do is pass on my knowledge to anybody who wants to learn how to grow food. Now, the latest thing, of course, is hemp, because we're one of the states that you can grow hemp. So I'm teaching people how to grow hemp, and how to turn that into CBD oil. And there's a lot to learn about that, because you have to do it in very good soil, because it's a remediation type plant. It takes up whatever's in the soil. So if you have bad soil, it's going to take it up into the product, and you wouldn't want to give that product to anybody. So there's a lot to know about growing hemp. And our whole thing is about wellness. So that's just another piece of the puzzle to help people get well and stay well.
How does the foodscape, the food desert that we hear about so much, how is that factoring into how you're spending your energy?
You know, to alleviate hunger and grow and have folks eat healthy food is one of my number one priority. I mean, I got a lot of priorities, but I just throw you.
Let's make that clear.
But that's a really important priority, because one of the things about, all you have to do is go to one of the hospitals around, and you see so many people that are devastated by being overweight, diabetes, especially in communities of color. And when I was in the hospital, I saw that. When I go to the doctor's office, I see that. And it's heartbreaking to see so many people not living, you know, not going to survive as long as they could survive, because, you know, when you look at even the Western Hemisphere here, we're number 3 in life expectancy. You have Canada, we have Cuba, and we're number 3. That shouldn't be that way if we're able to get healthy food into people's bodies and give them, have them have the right kind of exercise and so forth. So my work with the First Lady, Michelle Obama, was really important in the lesson.
I'm so glad you mentioned her.
Yeah, I was able to, of course, help her with the garden and help her travel with her to Europe, and her huge commitment to the Let's Move project has really helped. You know, it really brought a lot of people of color into understanding that they have to start eating better, because she was such a great spokesperson for that movement. You know, so that was one of the most satisfying pieces of the work that I was able to do over the years.
Well, your work continues. You've got lots of head, but as you look now back a little bit, is there anything that you would change, that you wouldn't do, that you did do?
Oh yeah, there's so many things that now that I look back on it, you can't be too far ahead of everybody else. Even though you're a visionary, sometimes you have to kind of shut down your visionary ideas. You don't want to do that, but you know, toward the end of Growing Power, I just kind of shut down my ideas because I had to try to hope that people would catch up, you know, and it was out of my control. But as a for-profit, it is in my control, you know. So that was probably one of the things that I didn't think about, because I'm a very trusting person, and I trusted a lot of people that, you know, sometimes you can't trust everybody, I've been told.
Will Allen is the founder of Growing Power, the iconic nonprofit disbanded last November. Currently, he operates Will's Roadside Farms and Markets out of the Urban Farm site at West Silver Spring with a small cluster of volunteers. Allen is the subject of an article in this month's Milwaukee Magazine. You can read more and see photos Susan Benz took during her recent visit with Will Allen at WUWM.com.